It's your inside pass to everything Saints football.
See you later, bye. Touchdown, Rashid Shaheed.
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown, Taysom Hill. Taysom TD.
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
To the end zone, and that is a touchdown for Chris Olave.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Oh, baby!
Hey, y'all, who dat, and welcome in. I am Jeff Nowak. This is going to be a quick hitter episode of Inside Black and Gold. Obviously, a short week, but I did want to get you a separate episode on the injury report, what we know so far, what we're looking at as we get ready for Thursday night football. And I wanted to keep it separate from kind of the overall preview episode for the game, which we're going to try to post at some point on Wednesday. We're going to have a Broncos insider to break things down. We're going to dive a little bit more into the Sean Payton of it all, talk a good bit about that. But in this episode, I just want to give you a quick hitter on the injury report. I want to hear from Mickey Loomis. We had the Saints GM on WWL this week, had some interesting things to say, particularly about Dennis Allen and the situation surrounding the coaching. So I want to talk about that. And then in the second segment, I'm going to play you an interview I did Wednesday evening with Mike Haas on WWL. We get into a lot of Saints topics there, so it just makes sense to do it one time, get it out, get it to y'all. And then following up in the week, we'll have a more in-depth kind of Broncos preview. But without further ado, let's dive in to the injury report. It's long. There's 17 names on it for the Saints. That's a lot. You know, I go around the NFL, I look at some of these other injury reports. I know the Colts have a really long one. There's a couple teams with like 12, 13. I haven't found another team in the NFL that has 17 names listed for any week. So do with that information what you will. Something's up. There's no way around it. This is going to be something that we end up talking about a lot this season into the offseason, but let's just go through it. So on Tuesday, now keep in mind they did walkthroughs Monday and Tuesday, and that's kind of standard operating procedure for these Thursday night games. You got to let these guys recover. Typically, you would have maybe a very light practice on Monday, and then Tuesday would be the player off day. So, I mean, that's just, you got to let them recover. You got to let them try to get their bodies back. But so you had six players, DNPs on Monday. That number dropped to five on Tuesday. So let's talk about the players who didn't participate. Several of them, not surprising. So you had guard Cesar Ruiz dealing with that knee injury. He's been out since week four. Really kind of a frustrating situation. You think, hey, if you're going to miss 4 weeks, 5 weeks, get the guy onto IR. The Saints didn't do that, and you're now going on his fourth game missed anyway. Dennis Allen did indicate last week that he's getting closer. It's not a structural thing. He didn't need to have surgery. It's more of a kind of utility thing, being able to do what he needs to do on the football field. So we'll find out. Hopefully, you know, I think the target for some of these guys will end up being, hey, we got a 10-day window here. Let's get some guys recovered. Let's get him back. Either way, I don't expect to see Cesar Ruiz out there. Quarterback Derek Carr, he's not going to play this week. And it sounds like he might miss multiple games beyond this. It's going to depend on how he recovers. Obviously, again, you have that 10-day window before you have to go out and face the Chargers. And the Chargers will be in the same situation that the Saints were in this week, which is kind of interesting. So the Saints, they had the misfortune of having to go on the road for Monday Night Football, come back and host a team on a short week that is coming off 10 days rest, which is a pretty big advantage when you really kind of factor it in. So that'll be the case for the Chargers. They're playing on Monday Night Football in week seven, and the Saints are playing on Thursday Night Football. So the Saints have to travel across the country, but they'll have 10 days rest compared to the Chargers six. So, you know, if you are of the belief that benefited the Bucs in this last week, then hopefully the Saints are the beneficiaries of that this time around. Either way, it's going to be a question mark whether you have Derek Carr at all. But we're going to have to watch. Dealing with that oblique injury, he's not practicing. He will not practice tomorrow either. He will not practice on Wednesday either. Pete Warner, hamstring injury, missed another practice. So he is trending not to play for a third straight game. And that is frustrating. That is a problem. The Saints got to figure something out at the linebacker position. He injured his hamstring in a walkthrough. I cannot stress that enough. a walkthrough. How does that happen? I don't know. Now, the two injuries that are the most concerning, just in the sense of that we haven't found a way to get through them yet because they haven't happened yet, Chris Olave dealing with that concussion. He is not back to practice on Tuesday, which to me is pretty, which to me kind of rules out any miraculous recovery. You got to come back, you got to get through a practice, then you got to clear the independent neurologist. It's not going to happen by Thursday. So you're going into this game pretty well knowing you're not going to have Chris Olave, and you probably knew that on Sunday, if we're all being honest, with all things being equal. The one that is a bit of a surprise was Sheet Shaheed dealing with a knee injury. I didn't see him go in the injury tent during the game. I didn't see when the injury happened. Apparently happened during the fourth quarter, but it sounds like, based on what I'm hearing, it's a reasonably significant knee injury. Like, I don't expect him to be out there on Thursday, and we'll have to see whether he misses games beyond that. But that means that you're going to be without your top two wide receivers. You're going to start a rookie quarterback, and you are going to give him no weapons. You are going to give him a two-fifths of your starting offensive line. You're going to give him Alvin Kamara at whatever percentage Alvin Kamara is. And you say, good luck, kid. What I'll say is, hey, at least these are the players that Spencer Rattler has been throwing to throughout camp. That's the silver lining I will give you. One bit of good news on the DNP portion of the program. Lucas Patrick, guard center Lucas Patrick, was upgraded to limited. We did see him out there on Tuesday. If he can go, I would expect him to slot in at left guard, bump Nick Saldivari back to the bench. And I think that is an upgrade. I think that will help you to some degree. How much? I don't know. But Lucas has been solid at guard when you've had him in there. And hopefully, that will allow you to get something going in the run game. Because to this point, you have not been able to do that. And that's a massive problem. That is probably the biggest stumbling block of this offense at this point in the season. I don't think pass protection has been terrible. Has it been great? No, but you could live with it. The problem is you're blocking in the run game. Your ability to run the ball has been non-existent in three of your four losses. And when you can't run the ball throughout the course of the game, I mean, the reason the Bucs were able to take away Spencer Rattler the way they did was they stopped respecting the run. They were like, we can stop the run. We don't need to devote extra bodies to the run. Send the linebacker out to stop these boots, to get out in front of him so he can't just kind of survey the field and make a comfortable throw. Send somebody out there, put him under pressure, and see how he reacts to that. And you can do that because you're not getting any interior push. So that's got to change. Hopefully, if Lucas is back, he can do that, dealing with that chest injury, but we'll have to see. Okay, the rest of the list was either a limited participant or a full participant. So the first one we'll mention is Carl Granderson. He's dealing with a neck injury. He was limited on Tuesday. He was limited on Monday. I'm going to end up saying the wrong days. I've been saying the wrong days all week. He was limited on Monday. He was upgraded to a full participant on Tuesday. So that's a good sign. Three other guys were full participants both days, but they are on the injury reports. So that's safety Tyrann Mathieu with that forearm injury. I think there was some concern there. When he went out, he missed the rest of the game. I think he probably got lucky a little bit. It was a kind of a deep contusion. Doesn't seem like it's going to be an issue. Won't keep him out. But that's the fourth time this season that he's gone out with an injury mid-game and has been a problem. So we'll have to wait and see on that. Linebacker Willie Gay still got that hand issue, played through it. Don't expect that to be a problem, but I do need him to make some tackles. That Chris Godwin touchdown catching around is still seared into my brain. And then wide receiver Bub Means, I reported earlier in the week, he injured his thumb punching out the ball on that first Spencer Rattler interception. He told me after the game it wasn't a big deal. He didn't have anything wrapped on it. It was just a minor injury. He's listed on the injury report. He's going to be fine. And that's a good thing because you're at a point where I think Bub Means is your best weapon in the passing game, at least from the wide receiver position. And we'll see how that goes. Now, I thought he played well. I like the idea of getting Bub Means involved, but man, it would be nice if you had some sort of reliability at the wide receiver position. We'll have to wait and see. Hopefully he can surprise some people. Hopefully he can be this year's Puka Nacua, fifth round pick, strong guy, not the fastest in the world, but he can get the job done. Let's do it. Let's have Bub Means be the Puka Nacua of this year. Why not? Why not us? There's some reasons, but whatever. We'll continue. So those guys are full limited. The long list. Taysom Hill. He's been limited both days. Now, I was out there today. I didn't see him. He was not there during the open the portion of practice open to the media. It doesn't mean he didn't participate, but where was he? So I'm a little skeptical that he's going to be able to go. I'm not going to go so far as to say they're lying to you, but I do think there might be a little bit of gamesmanship going on here with the injury report to force Sean Payton and the Broncos to have to game plan for Taysom Hill and waste some time on it, because I don't think he's going to play. We'll see. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that he plays, because when he is out there, the Saints offense has looked a whole lot better. But something in my head says, hey, I don't think he's going to play, but I think they do want Sean Payton to be – they do want the Broncos staff to be kind of staying up late game planning for Taysom Hill. So we'll see. Either way, if you could get him back, massive, massive boost. But I'm not going to hold my breath on it. Other guys, defensive end Peyton Turner dealing with a knee injury. Taysom's dealing with a rib injury, by the way. That's been the same injury he's been having. Same injury he's been trying to work back from since leaving in week 4 against the Falcons. Other guys, Peyton Turner dealing with a knee injury. He was limited. Same injury he dealt with last week, played through it, so I expect him to be out there. Running back Alvin Kamara, limited again. Only listed with a hand injury, but we know he's been dealing with other injuries, right? Whether it's a hip, whether it's a rib, whether it's whatever. He's banged up. Limited again. I expect him to play, but I don't expect him to be anywhere near 100%, so we'll have to wait and see what that looks like for him. Defensive tackle Nathan Shepard, groin injury. He was limited. I expect him to go. JT Gray, safety, calf injury, limited. Alonte Taylor, shoulder. The shoulder he injured during the first half, went back to the locker room. Got it taped up a little bit, came back in, played through it. I do think he was dealing with an injury there. I think that kind of played into some of the shoddy tackling technique that you saw from him, particularly on that Chris Godwin catch and run, because I just don't know if, like, physically he was able to wrap up. But either way, that's got to be better. I expect him to go out there. He's a tough guy. He's going to play through whatever he's dealing with, but he's dealing with something. Either way, shoulder injury, limited. Wide receiver, last one, wide receiver Cedric Wilson, ankle injury, limited. So that's your whole roster. That's a starting lineup, right? When you look at the players that the Saints rolled out in week 1 and said, these are our starters. This is the top line of our depth chart. You do not have many of those guys left, whether they're on injured reserve, whether they're on whatever. That's a problem. The guy who's not on this injury report, because he has now been added back to the active roster, is Kendre Miller. And if you don't play him this week, then just cut him. Like, if this is not a week you can get Kendre Miller involved, just cut him. Just stop forcing me to ask about it. Because if you cannot, on a short week with all these guys banged up, find a way to have Kendre Miller impact your game plan in some way, then it's not worth having him around. Figure it out. I don't know. I expect him to be out there. I expect him to play. I'm not saying that they should cut Kendre Miller. I'm saying that you need to find a way to get him involved. Coaching staff has been speaking reasonably highly of him. You haven't had these, oh, he doesn't get it. You don't have these, like, backhanded compliments or, you know, passive aggressive statements from the coaching staff. It sounds like he's been out there. He's working. Let the guy go. Let the guy make an impact of some kind, because someone's got to do it. It's not going to be Jamal. We found that out. He got 3 offensive snaps last week. Let's get Kendre Miller involved. Okay. Shifting gears from the injury report, I do want to go and play you a clip for Mickey Loomis on the Saints coaches show last night. It was the slot that typically Dennis Allen would fill, but the coaches are obviously a little behind the eight ball from a time perspective. So Mickey Loomis filled in. So it's Bobby Hebert, Mike Haas chatting. Bobby's at the Silver Slipper Casino. It's where they do that show on Mondays. So you're going to hear some background noise. Either way, he was asked kind of, okay, what about the coaching staff? Like, how do we view the coaching staff as it pertains to, man, you've lost 4 games in a row. You are the defensive-minded head coach, and you've allowed 51 points. You have the number 32 ranked total defense in terms of yards allowed. 32. This isn't like a sample size issue either. We're through 6 weeks. That's a third of the season. That's not, hey, okay, we'll balance this out. That is, you are the worst defense in the NFL through 3 weeks, or through 6 weeks. That's a problem for me. But anyway, this is what, you know, and this is a quote that's been kind of shared around. This people have already had their say on it, but this is what Mickey Loomis had to say.
Now, Mickey, if you, you put your head on the pillow a Saturday night before the Sunday game, And if you would have had a dream, and this dream is reality, that we're playing Atlanta and they're not going to score an offensive touchdown, I think you would take that, hell yeah, we're going to win the game. And then you look at what occurred yesterday. We get three interceptions and we run back a punt for a touchdown. You're not supposed to lose those kind of games. I mean, I was like shocked just based on, if you just told me that that's what occurred in the game, I'd be like, man, what the hell happened? How did we lose that? Now, does that come to coaching? I mean, because you have those things that you think that definitely that's a winning formula to win, but you got to close the deal. Like, okay, you look at the Chiefs. They might be winning ugly, but they close out the games. And then we've been in situations in the Eagles and the Chiefs. The Eagles needed a touchdown. We couldn't close them out. We're playing good defense. And then you look at too many times, and even Atlanta, not being able to close out games. But just looking what occurred then and what we did as far as taking away the football, are you getting like a special teams touchdown? Come on, you can't afford to lose those games, because that could be the difference whether you get the double-digit wins or not.
Yeah, I think what you're getting at here is that and you want to get your team to the point where you expect to win, because when you expect to win and you have those, you know, things that can happen that don't go your way, they're just little speed bumps that you cruise right over, right? Because you have confidence and you have a lot of players that believe they're going to make a big play, you know, when it counts. And when you hope to win, and I think most teams are in that position of where they hope to win, you know, those speed bumps become little mountains. And so we have, you know, our goal is obviously to get to the point where we're expecting to win. And I felt like, and we were moving that direction after the first two or three weeks, right? And then, you know, we've had some adversity. We've had, like I said, we've had a lot of injuries, a lot of guys missing that are key players, playmakers for us. And, you know, we weren't able to close out those two games, Atlanta and Philadelphia. So we got to get back to that. We know we have a good team. We know we do. And we're confident in that. But we have to weather this storm and weather these weeks where we're not at full strength, and we have to find a way to be competitive, and find ways to win games. And you, again, that starts with not beating ourselves, right? Getting back to fundamentals. We got to coach better. We got to play better, and I believe we will.
Well, you know, Mickey, I'm looking. Well, we plus three in the turnover margin, and you know, that's why it's shocking to me. Even last season, we were plus 11. You look at scoring, offense, and defense. I'm like, how in the hell we didn't get the 10 wins? That's why I still emphasize to me, and is that you have to look at the head coach. Is that we're not closing out games? We're highly competitive, but it's a bottom line business. Did you win or did you lose the game? That's why I think fans are frustrated, because you could be so close and so far, and you might say there's not much difference between 10 and 7 and 7 and 10, but if you're 7 and 10, the Houdat Nation is restless, and then they're frustrated. But if you're 10 and 7, then everybody's ecstatic. But the bottom line is you have to win. It's not like, oh, we're competing hard and playing hard, that it's a bottom line business. You have to win, and it's not just we're in the hunt, we're playing hard and all that. You got to win. Or, look, 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year because they don't win and people want changes. And so we already got one coach fired in New York. That didn't surprise me with the Jets, how they are. They always been dysfunctional. But every year, everybody wants to win, but everybody can't win. So 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired. And that could be the difference. Comebacks to haunt you when you don't finish games to have a chance to be in the postseason and get the double-digit wins.
Yeah, I mean, look, everything you say is accurate. Results matter. They do. But I think one of the things that I think good organizations do is that, man, you look beyond the results. What's the reason for the result? And how do you fix the reasons that keep you from winning? And it's not always about the head coach. Sometimes it is, but it's not always about that. It's about a lot of different variables. A lot of things are involved in winning and winning a particular game, or winning a lot during the course of a season. And so that's what we'll look at that when the time comes. But the time is not right now. We have a lot of games left. We have a talented team, and you know, we'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah. Beyond the results. Okay, so let's unpack that, right? Like,
you have the GM saying you have to look beyond the results. I think that is kind of some canned drivel to an extent. Like, I don't think that it's necessarily, I don't think there's a whole lot of meaning to be gleaned from that, other than the GM is kind of setting you up to say, like, we're not firing the coach midseason. Like, that's what that is. That is Bobby asking a reasonably direct question. Hey, are you going to hold this against the head coach? And is that something that you need to figure out right now? That's basically what he's asking. And what Mickey is saying is, no, we think that things are reasonable right now, and we're going to let this play out. Like, that's what he's saying. He's not saying, hey, there's nothing that could happen that would change my opinion of the head coach and the coaching staff. That is a servant leader kind of allowing a coaching staff to have a fighting chance. One way or another, you're not firing a head coach after Sean Payton comes to town, because you're not going to give him that. You're not going to give him the satisfaction of making him feel like, hey, he forced your hand on this. As much as these guys want to make it out like this is some congenial thing, and these guys are all like, oh, lovey-dovey, there's some resentment there. Like, there's some resentment when a guy kind of leaves you high and dry the way Sean did. But either way, you know, I kind of take that as Mickey kind of confirming what I've always felt to be true, which is this is not going to be a front office that just says, hey, things are going poorly, let's fire this guy into the sun and see if maybe a interim coach could fix things. You're not gonna, I don't think this is the front office that does that. This is not the Jets front office, right? And I do think that there's a significant difference there. And I don't have a problem with it. Like, again, I've said this a few times, I don't see how firing a coach midseason would actually benefit you. It would just kind of create all these other problems. And not firing a head coach midseason is not the same as saying, hey, there's nothing he could do wrong that would lose him this job. At a certain point, the writing will be on the wall and he has lost the job. But, you know, I just don't think you're ever going to hear Mickey come out and say that. And I think that's why people get annoyed, because you want him to come out and be Jerry Jones and just kind of be a dick. And he's always going to back his staff and back his coaches. So it is what it is. Either way, did want to play that for you. Did want to get into that. We'll talk more about it. Hopefully the tone changes. Like, that's the thing. This week is going to make a big difference one way or the other on how we view this coaching staff. Because if you come out and you get a win, and you can get things headed in the right direction, great. You give yourself a chance. You move forward. You got 10 days to kind of reset, maybe get some of these players back and do whatever. If you can't, if you lose, and especially if you lose in an ugly way, the way you did last week, then I think that tells you a lot one way or the other. So we'll find out. But either way, let's wrap up this segment. I'm Jeff Nowak. This is Inside Black and Gold. Just a quick episode kind of getting you geared up for the week. Wanted to get you a middle of the week episode, even though there really is no middle of the week. Didn't want to go straight from post-game analysis pod to preview pod. Like, there will be coming at you forward. But either way, next segment is going to be a segment that I did with Mike Haas on WWL Radio Tuesday evening. Got into a lot of topics, so just feel like, hey, might as well just play that for you rather than kind of go into it all again. Either way, appreciate everyone for listening. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do that. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating, leave a review. Again, we don't really, I don't ask you for anything. We don't have a Patreon. We never will. The way that you can support this podcast is by subscribing, telling a friend, saying, hey, you listen to podcasts? You like the Saints? Here's a podcast. It's really that simple. That's all I ask for. Anyway, appreciate everyone who, and I know there's people who do that. So I appreciate everyone who does that, everyone who listens, everyone who chimes in our live chats, all that. Hit me up on Twitter @Jeff_Nowak. If you have any questions, comments, whatever, DMs are open. And without further ado, let's wrap this segment up again. Inside Black and Gold. Who dat? We'll be right back.